Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast. You're about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
So we are reading Exodus chapter 12, verse 1. To 13, and our subject is going to be from slavery to rulership. Before we read, I want you to understand that Israel had been in captivity to Egypt, which represents the world system, for about 430 years. Now, whilst they were there, although they were already the people of God, practically, they were not enjoying the kingdom of God, or the royalty, the rule, and the realm of God. They were slaves whilst they were there. And it was because the world's standards, the world's values, the world's philosophy, or the world's way of thinking and going about things had limited them. It had hemmed them in. So God's original purpose for his people was to liberate his children. They were already his children whilst they were in Egypt. They were already the people of God. But God's purpose was to liberate them from the control of the world system, so that practically in their day-to-day life, they will enjoy the kingdom arrangement that we now have under Jesus. Now, for us believers now, although we are in the kingdom of God, we can also be in a condition of the people of Israel, where the world's standards and the world's thinking and the world's values and arrangement hems us in, so that we are not able to practically enjoy or experience the royalty that we are, the rule of God that we must have, and the realm of God in which we must live. So the benefit we will derive from this teaching, or from this understanding, is that the way that Israel was first liberated, or I should say was finally liberated to start enjoying the kingdom system, was prophetic of the way that God wants us to enjoy his system now. And the way that they finally were liberated to start enjoying it was the introduction of the royal blood, or the Passover lamb. Hallelujah. So that is the way that you and I, after we've gone through everything that we can go through, after we have examined every Christian activity, whatever thing there is, from prayer, witnessing, whatever thing there is, the trigger mechanism to put us, catapult us into the practical enjoyment of God's system, the life he's got for us, is by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. So here we are, we're going to read about the blood of Jesus Christ, we're going to read about the Lord Jesus Christ, and then we will take it from there. Exodus 12:1. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, "This month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the persons. According to each man's need, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the doorpost and the lintel of the houses where they eat it. Then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire, with unleavened bread and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat it raw, nor boiled at all with water, but roasted in fire, its head, its legs, and its entrails. You shall let none of it remain until the morning. What remains of it until morning you shall burn with fire. Verse 11. And thus you shall eat it with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. So you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I'll pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Verse 13, final verse. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Hallelujah. We have been talking about Jesus from this scripture, and we have said that Jesus Christ is all over the Bible, so we must find him everywhere. So we're going to see the Lord Jesus from Exodus 12 and then verse 5. Exodus 12 and then from verse 5. It says that your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it from the sheep or from the goats. I want you to note that Jesus, the Bible says, shall be without blemish. Hallelujah. God required that the sacrifices that Israel made to him was without blemish. And that is how our Lord Jesus Christ was. He was a lamb without blemish. Inside, he was without blemish. And outside, he was also without blemish. He was the perfect person who could die for us, and whose blood God was totally going to find acceptable, based upon which he was going to introduce us to enjoy practically the kingdom arrangement he has for us. I want us to look in Songs of Songs, chapter 5, and we want to describe our Lord Jesus. Songs of Songs, chapter 5, and then verse 9. You read down to verse 16. We want to see how lovely our Jesus is, how without blemish our Jesus is, inside and outside. Because outside, Jesus was a man's man. Jesus was the perfect human being that God was craving for. For which reason, he told the people of Israel, always make sure that the person or the lamb you give to me is without blemish. Without blemish means that the color is good. It means that it is not diseased. It means that every feature is right. It means that physically, the lamb that Israel was to give to God, sacrifice to God, was to look perfect, with correct eyes, correct legs, correct neck, correct head, correct limbs, correct everything. And Jesus Christ came to totally, completely fulfill this perfection that God required from his sacrifice. And that is what we want to read about. The book of Songs of Songs is really describing our Lord Jesus. As we have said, because Jesus is the Word of God, and because the Bible is the Word of God, Jesus must be on every page of the Bible. Hallelujah. And so in Songs of Songs 5 verse 9, the daughters of Jerusalem are challenging this Shunammite, who was a black lady, and saying that, look, you have been saying a lot of things. I mean, you have been bluffing us about your beloved, who is this your beloved at all? Describe him. How is he special? How is he different from anybody that you talk so loftily about him? So verse 9 says, what is your beloved? There's the daughters of Jerusalem. There's a drama that Solomon made them do. He didn't know it was prophetic of Jesus Christ and his coming. So verse 9 says, what is your beloved more than another beloved? How special is he from other people's fiancés or other people's husbands and all that? What is your beloved more than another beloved? Oh, fairest among women. What is your beloved more than another beloved that you so charge us? So the Shunammite is now describing his beloved, and is prophetic about Jesus. Look at how Jesus Christ physically even looked like whilst he walked on the earth without blemish, right? Verse 10, my beloved is white and ruddy, chief among 10,000s. Now the word white is actually talking about dazzling. That's the Hebrew. My beloved is dazzling. And is talking about that the fact that Jesus is sunny bright. If you should meet Jesus, he has a certain glow around him because he had never sinned before. And so when you met him, there was a holy aura around him. He was a man. He was a son of man, but there was something you could not put a finger on, that there is something strange about this man. You know that in the world, if you meet somebody who is evil, the person has killed and killed and killed and killed and killed and killed and killed, or the person has done bad for a long time, although you may not know him, but if you meet him, there will be some aura around the person, as if the person is some way, and the person may not have told you anything he has done, but something tells you there is something about this man. And later when you get to hear that he's a hardened criminal, he has been killing without, he is more than a mafia man, you say, aha. That is why when I saw him at first, I was feeling like that. That was the opposite. When you saw Jesus, because he had never sinned before, there was something about him physically when you met him, about his looks, about his voice, about his demeanor, the way that he carried himself. There was something about Jesus. That is what the Shunammite is describing, that he is dazzling, that he is above, he is the chiefest among 10,000s. He is the standard bearer, that is in the Hebrew, among 10,000s. And he said that he is ruddy. Ruddy means that he has the finest complexion. Hallelujah. I'm not saying Jesus is black or Jesus is white, but what I can tell you, that his complexion was fine. Hallelujah. So just use your imaginations. Whatever he looked like, that the skin was okay. He didn't have scabies on him. He didn't have pimples all over him. He didn't have eczema all over him. He wasn't toned in the face one color and the hand too is a different color. No, Jesus was ruddy. Hallelujah. Of the finest complexion. His head is like the finest gold. His locks are wavy and black as a raven. His head is like the finest gold. Wow! Gold over here is talking about excellence, majesty. There was something about his head. When you saw him, there was something royal. He wasn't wearing a crown on his head, but there was some regality about his head. And that is what the Shunammite describes of Jesus, that his head is like the finest gold. Hallelujah. The head was correct. Some people, their head is not correct. I shouldn't say it, but I will say it. Is it because our Jesus, you know, some people, their head, the middle has fallen inside. Some people, their head, they have a projection at the back. Some people, their head is flat like. Some people's too is like pencil.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and His kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
Oh wow, but our Lord Jesus, His head was like the finest gold, the finest head you can ever find on the face of this earth was on the head, was on the body of Jesus. Hallelujah. His head is like the finest gold. And mind you, this one that we are reading about is not wrapping Jesus. It's not trying to ascribe to Jesus what He does not have. Because the Bible never lies. We exaggerate. Yes, we, when we are describing our wives or our husbands or our beloved people we are going to marry, we say things about them which sometimes when we meet them, we look at them and say, is this the one you are talking about? You see? But this one is truth. Can we all say truth? This is truth, because the Bible is truth and God never exaggerates. Are you aware of that? God says the exact truth, and this is what the Holy Spirit inspires. He says that His head is like the finest gold. He has the most beautiful head, fine and majestic. His locks are wavy. The locks is talking about His hair. His hair is wavy. You know, in this part of the world, we like the wavy hair, although we do not have, or although we really have wavy hair. Actually, look at your hair, it's wavy. That is how Jesus's hair looked like. He says that His hair is curly. The opposite of wavy hair is flowing hair. Flowing hair is the silky hair that belongs to the Scandinavian people, the Europeans, the proper Europeans. They have got flowing hair, you know. But ours is curly already. We have curls. Because if you take one strand of our hair, you see that it falls about 6 times. You can open it up like that and it's like a spring. But some other people, you take a strand of their hair and it all flows. It's not curly, it's a flowing hair. I haven't said Jesus is black. I haven't said Jesus is white. I'm only describing how God described His Son, whom He was going to prepare a body to perfectly, prophetically fulfill what He has spoken in the word about Him. So here we go. He says that His locks are wavy or curly, wow, and black as a raven. Black implying that He was youthful, He was young, He didn't have gray hair. Because you see, some young people, I know young people who have not even entered their 30s, who have got gray hair in their head. That one, yes, God created gray hair, but that one, it's not normal. It's not normal. Jesus had black hair. That means that He was going to be youthful. You look at His hair, He said, now this is a young man. Hallelujah. There's not going to be a young man who looks old. You know, some people, you look at their faces and you see that this one is grown. He grew before he came. Is he? But our Jesus was not like that. Hallelujah. I don't want you to get pictures of other people. I want you to get a picture of Jesus. We want to unveil the way that our Lord Jesus really looked like. So the hair was black as a raven. It was black and glossy. Hallelujah. You know that a raven, we've got ravens here. The raven is the crow. Our version of the crow, you see the crow. You see the blackness of the crow. The crow is black and white. Black throughout with white around the neck. This black of Jesus is like that of the crow. It looked very black. There is some black that is like sick black. You see that it's black, but you don't know. Sometimes when the sun falls on it, you are getting some different ideas. Even violet is coming inside, you know. But our Lord Jesus, his one was black like the raven. You see that the raven, they don't put oil on their black. Oh, but anytime you see it, it is glossy. It's like some oil on it. That is how our Jesus looked like. Let's move on. His eyes are like doves by the rivers of water, washed with milk and fitly set. He says that our adorable Jesus, his eyes, picture the eyes, is like a dove's eye. Have you seen a dove's eye? It is a clear round. It is not tilted in any way. If our Jesus should look at you, you are looking like at a dove's eyes. It is roundish, beautiful. And the Bible says that it is as if it has been washed in milk. There is no other color that milk has got except white. I'm not talking about treated milk. I'm talking about proper milk. The one that you milk from the cow, for example. It is white. So Jesus Christ has got dove's eyes, roundish in shape, and the white, the ball, is white, not brownish, not red. You see Jesus and you see that his eyes are red. No, it is roundish, and it is as if it has been washed in milk. This is how the Shunammite prophetically was seeing his beloved. This Shunammite is a type of the church in the Old Testament describing his or her beloved. So Jesus Christ had white eyes, roundish in shape, and the Bible says, and thickly set. I like to talk about that because you can have round, nice eyes. You can have white eyes, you know, but not fitly set. Fitly set, if you study the scripture in the Hebrew, it talks about the fact that it is not sunken. There are some people, you look at their face and you see that their eyes is nice, but it is inside. You understand that? And some people, it is like outside. Have you seen them? That if you look at their eyes, you see their eyes are projected to the level of their nose. And some other people, their eyes has retreated inside. Ladies and gentlemen, our dear Lord Jesus had dove's eyes roundish. It was pure white and it was fitly. The Hebrew says properly set. It was properly placed. It wasn't too much deep. It wasn't too much out. It was just properly set. Hallelujah. That is why we can worship him. We can adore him. because he came in the likeness of sinful flesh, but his flesh didn't have sin in it. It looked like human being. He was a human being. The difference is that he didn't have sin in him. So it affected the way that his body looked like, even physically. Verse 13. His cheeks are like a bed of spices. I love this. Underline a bed of spices, banks of scented herbs. His lips are lilies, dropping liquid myrrh. Hallelujah. Says that his cheeks are like a bed of spices. Jesus Christ, his cheeks was wonderful. His cheeks didn't look like a mountain. Do you understand? A mountain cheek. See, there are some cheeks, and I'm not making fun of anybody. I'm trying to describe our Jesus. And in doing that, I have to let you see a certain picture. His cheeks didn't stand like that, like mine. You know, trying to compete. No. His cheeks was like a bed. Have you seen a bed? It was flowing. Actually, in the Hebrew, the word that is translated bed is a word aruga, and it means a raised surface of a garden. It's like you are doing a garden and then you do what we call a kofi. What do you do? A bed. And then you plant your spices in the bed. That is how Jesus's cheeks looked like. It was raised nicely, raised and flowing. Wow. In other words, his cheeks were not sunken. You know, some people, you look at them, they look very nice, except that their cheeks are sunken like that. But Jesus's wasn't like that. It was like a bed. It was flowing all throughout. He didn't look emaciated. Jesus Christ didn't look like somebody who was malnourished, whose cheek had fallen. So that it's not a bed. What is it? If it's not a bed, falling cheek, how will you describe it? Now, it's not a bed, but it has gone inside. It's a pothole. It's a pothole. That is blemish. Ladies and gentlemen, that is blemish. But our Jesus had a raised surface. Hallelujah. As if you are planting spices over there. Special plants that need care. Planted over there. His lips are lilies, dripping liquid myrrh. Hallelujah. His lips dripping liquid myrrh. It means that the thing is flowing. They haven't become points, rounded points. You look at the lips and it's like liquid myrrh. Something flowing has been put on it. Do you understand? It's not like some unnecessary divisions, which is as a result of some sickness that we, our great 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 grandfathers had, that we get to inherit. Our Jesus, his lips is like man, but it's a flowing man. Flowing. Wow. I will tell you, as I end, one of the reasons why, let's get there, let me not get ahead of myself. Look at verse 14. His hands are wrought of gold, set with beryl. His body is carved ivory, inlaid with sapphires. Wow. His hands are wrought of gold, excellent hands. Some people draw Jesus and it's as if he is a woman. But Jesus was a man's man. Hallelujah. His hands were that of a man. Excellent. Rods of gold set with beryl. Look at all the precious minerals that are used to describe the body of Jesus. It's precious. Gold, beryl. Says that the hands are set, and it's worth commenting on the word set. It means that it has been. Do you understand when you say something is set? It has been properly, deliberately put where it must be. Then you can say that I have set the thing up. I have taken pains to properly put it at the place where it should be. So his hands were set. Set inside his shoulders. Hallelujah.
I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you.
Lord, I lift your name.